Blog Talk Radio.
You're about to enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, Bigfoot, and generally anything unexplained. We live in a diverse world where we don't fully understand everything that happens around us. These are the topics that we are discussing on Paranormal Horizons. Stay tuned with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang, as we look a little deeper into the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons begins now. Good evening, everyone. I'm Jason Ophir, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. Sherry is my co-host, as always. Sherry, how's it going?
Pretty good, Jason. I'm just getting over a cold.
Well, that's no good. You don't have the flu, do you?
Yeah, I did. I think I had a couple days worth. I'm trying to train for a run and maybe kind of push myself, but I'm doing okay. And if I start coughing up a lung, I will remove myself, and I will go and I'll come back, so... I think I'm turning around the corner with getting over a sore throat and a little bit of congestion, but I feel better. I feel better than I have been in the last couple of days. So how about you, Jason? What's going on with you?
I'm doing okay. I was going to say, you know, I had a friend break a rib coughing. I didn't even know that was possible that you could do that. Did you know that?
No, I can't. That must have been pretty bad.
Yeah, I didn't even know that would be like physiological possible to break bones coughing. Anyway, things are going great. Busy at work as usual, and kind of keeping a loose eye on what's going on in the paranormal. I watched a video yesterday regarding the Denver airport. It's something I was aware of. Did you know that there's all this conspiracy theory regarding the Denver airport and how there's like some super secret, like, military bunker under the airport? Have you ever heard anything about that?
No, I haven't, Jason. Tell us a little bit quickly.
Well, it's just a really, really weird place. I've actually been there before, and people believe that there's like a huge base under the Denver airport, and some of the weird things about it, there are these murals in the airport that depict all these strange, violent things that all these people walk by every day. And there's a plaque with, the Freemason plaque, and people think it's like some New World Order or there's some continuation of government base under there. And I thought it was just really interesting. It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they spent billions on the airport. And eventually, there was so much talk about there being a secret base under there that the airport invited a local news crew there to go beneath the airport. And I mean, there's a lot of tunnels under there. Apparently they have this baggage system that doesn't work, and who knows what if there's anything that the news crew wasn't shown, but I find it pretty fascinating that it wouldn't surprise me. You know, the best place to hide something is in plain sight. You know that, right?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. Oh. Anyway, we're going to talk about, we have a special guest. He's returning. Always a pleasure to have him. His name is Eric Mitchell, very well known in the paranormal field. He's going to talk about, we're going to go from higher levels of consciousness to UFOs to maybe sharing his experiences as an abductee. And possibly we may have a surprise caller to call in tonight, so we're going to surprise you guys. But Eric is just a wonderful soul, just very full of wisdom and just really a pleasure to talk to him anytime I get a chance to talk to him on a personal level. So we're going to bring Eric on the air.
Yeah, and it looks like he's there. And I see we do have another caller. Would that be, you said Barry was going to call in as well?
There might be
a couple
people.
Did you say?
Go ahead and take the call.
Okay, well, let's get Eric on right now.
Hey, guys.
Eric,
how you doing?
How's it going? Hey. Good, how are you?
Another day in paradise, my friend. Great intro, by
Hi,
the way.
Hi, Eric.
Hey, Sherry, how you doing?
You.
I'm doing better. Better today than it was yesterday.
Yeah, it's getting everybody, I think.
Well,
there's definitely
trying to keep our immune system up and keep good thoughts. So, yes, it's great to have you, and it's we can talk anywhere across the board. And like I said, it's always a pleasure to have you back. And I don't know, Jason, if you want to take the call, I don't know. We're having some surprise guests maybe, or who knows who's calling. So if you want to take the call, that's great.
Well, they just hung up, so it looks like we're good. Maybe they'll call back. And if they call back, we'll just bring them on.
Well, I think, Jason, what you were referring to at the Denver airport would be a DUM. it's funnily, funny acronym. It means Deep Underground Military Base. And I think reportedly, not confirmed, but we have over 130 right here in the U.S.
So what's your take on the Denver airport? You think there's some super secret thing going on under there?
I know about it, but, I mean, I don't know about it. You know, there's a lot of things that get passed around in ufology without ever, you know, confirming things. So it's really, really hard to say. I mean, you know, these things I do know exist, but for the Denver airport, I really couldn't say for sure.
Anything's possible. Well, I noticed that
right.
Caller did call back, so let's go ahead and see who that is, and then we'll just move on from there.
All right. I think it would be a friend of mine, David. He's recently has gotten into, a whole world of trouble. He was just like me, you know, 5 years ago, didn't believe in the subject, didn't think of the subject, furthest thing from his mind, and he's had a very similar crash course as me. And he'd like to voice his, thoughts and opinions a little bit here and there to try to exercise his voice and let people know that this is a real thing. It affects lives, and if he can help anybody just by putting his voice out, then he's happy to do it.
Who we brought him on, is this David?
Yes, this is he.
Hey, hey. Welcome
David,
to the show.
Welcome
so-
to Paranormal Horizons.
Thank you. This my first time. I'm kind of just real nervous about it, but you know, you just let everyone know I've got nothing to gain from this. I don't want to gain from this. I just, you know, just if I can best help someone that was, you know, like me, afraid to say anything. Just, you know, you don't believe this stuff, but when you see it, it's kind of hard to say, okay, this don't exist. But when you're looking at it, it's kind of a different story. You know, it's there. And it's really bothered me over, you know, a couple years here. I'm dealing with this. It changed my life in 2016. You know, I seen the thing in 2011, and 2016 changed it.
So we're talking about alien abduction, right?
Yes, and,
correct.
You know.
I'd love to hear the story. I mean, you've got the floor. Either one of you, I'd be very interested. Maybe just go one at a time. I find it's my favorite subject, so I'm totally all ears.
Well,
it's You want to take
hard.
Away,
Eric
Dave?
Knows that.
Yeah, it's very difficult. What's not talked about in ufology is exactly what people like us go through. I mean, you know, you've got all these people that, you know, they sell these books, they hunt for, you know, popularity and everything like that. But you can go through video after video on YouTube. You know, I call them YouTubeologists. But you're going to see nuts and bolts. You're going to see all kinds of crazy stories. But what you don't see and what any psychologist would look for would be, you know, the signs of actuation, it actually happening. And, you know, you see a lot of bland things out there, but, you know, you don't see a lot of people talking about what's going on the inside, what's happening, you know, to that particular person on the inside. And that's the I think, you know, for John Mack, you know, he was in Harvard. He was a Harvard professor for psychology, and he came across these psychological things, and he's going, how could this be? You know, how can these people that have never met are going through the same emotions, the same head trouble, the same heart trouble? Why is this happening? You know, and, you know, he eventually determined that this is a real thing. Now here, you know, my investigator and now David's investigator, Bear, has never been leading. He's never tried to push any narrative. You know, he'll just let you kind of grow into your own skin while you're going through all these troubles. But it's just amazing that, you know, I spoke to David. I wish I could have spoken to him a lot more, but the more and more we talk, the more similarities pop up, not with what, you know, exactly is happening on the outside of us, but on the inside. So now you can see David, where he's at now, you know, basically where I was 5 years ago, before I had a voice, before I would ever get on radio. And, you know, kudos to David for calling in and wanting to, you know, speak your mind.
It's been hard, you know. I mean, God, I didn't think I would ever find someone that would understand anything. You know, I've seen stuff on television, you know, after I started believing, you know, I had, you know, but, you know, it goes through your mind to come up and tell you, okay, you seen Venus. Okay, that was swamp gas. You know, when you're sitting, you're looking at this big triangle in the air and it's 500 yards across from point to point, you know, where does swamp gas come in? Where does Venus come in? And especially if the dang thing takes you, you know, it's real. It's there. And they, you know, and it's, you know, I'm scared to death yet, you know, what's going to happen. You know, it's, they're real. And, you know, everybody in America needs to take note of this. They're here for a specific reason. And I hate to tell everybody, it's, they do not come here on a friendly basis, what they're doing to me and what they've done to me. It's hard.
Do you think it's really common that this sort of thing is happening out there? Do you think it's just that people are repressing it or having their memories altered, or do you think it's fairly rare to have these interactions or abductions?
I think they're more common. Yeah, they're more common, you know, I believe. But a lot of people like me, they're afraid to say anything. I live in eastern Kentucky. We get stereotyped here, you know, out the yin-yang. Everybody's probably hearing me right now talk, wants to deduct 100 IQ points because I've got an accent. But, you know, when you're scared to death, you don't know who to turn to, and there's nobody here to turn to. And I'm lucky that I found, you know, Barb actually one found me. Actually, you know, I sent the report in. And, you know, I thank God for him. You know, he's helped me. I mean, that one night especially, and Eric knows this, I stuck the pistol in my, I was getting ready to pull the trigger because this was just eating me up, and this was after I had talked to him, you know. But you feel alone, and I know there's people out there that's like me, you know. If they, you know, don't be scared, you know, tell this. I mean, the government, you know, is not going to just up and just say, okay, yeah, aliens real, we're taking you, but, you know, they know this. You know, they just finally come out and admit it the other day. They're chasing them, but they won't admit who's driving them. You know, well, wow, we know who's driving them. And we know why they're here. You know, and why, you know, why they want us, I don't know. You know, that's yet to be determined. But, you know, this is real. You know, and when you look at something, and when you got something in your body, it's kind of hard to say, okay, you know, they're not real. I've got an implant in my body. One came out the other day, but I've got one. I'm looking at it right now in the palm of my hand here. And, no, you know, this is just some, you know, I know some things they've done to me, but I don't know everything. And, you know, it's
Can
just,
I ask
it's,
you,
it's
how,
mine.
Were you abducted by, like, Greys or Nordics, or what kind of people were they? What kind of aliens?
They were the Greys. They were the Greys. I've seen.
Are they like the people that you see, you know, where they're on, you know, that are depicted on the Facebook or whatever? Are they different than what they people are seeming to think of Greys, with the big eyes and the swollen heads and tiny bodies?
That's them. You know, I've seen three different races that I know of, and yeah, the small gray ones. And these one. I call it the leader. I absolutely would kill that thing if I could for what it's done. And I've seen another type. They're probably about the size of us. Then I've seen these big, tall ones, 7-8 feet. And they look, I don't know, lizard looking in the face, reptilian maybe. And then I've just seen three different ones, and none of them can be trusted.
Wow.
You know, they're all involved.
That's crazy.
So what's the consensus on what's their modus operandi or whatever? Are they doing genetic experiments, or do we have any information or any speculation on what exactly their objective is by abducting humans?
Well, you said genetics, you know, and Eric told me a story, and I'm going to tell one right now. It's kind of weird. I really hate to tell it, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Here a few years ago, I started growing breasts. Then I had a lump come in it. So I went and had it taken out. The doctor that took it out said he had never in his life seen female breasts on a male subject. So he did a karyotype test, which genetic DNA, whatever you want to call it. I've got one extra chromosome for sure. I may have several more. And the test proved that I am 82% female. So you tell me if they're changing me, or was that why, you know, they took me? I don't know.
Does that sound like a mutation kind of, Eric? What do you think?
Well, that's a jaw dropper, and it's not the first jaw dropper I've come across in my life. I was contacted by a woman who had a 14-year-old daughter. She started having really powerful behavior, you know, man-like behavior, and she was tested. Her testosterone levels were through the roof. You know, she had just hit puberty, started her period, and she needed help. She knew that there was something going on. There were lights in the sky. There was missing time. There was a lot of things going on. Long story short, this child began to lose her breasts, and her female parts slowly, slowly changed. And I know there's doctors that would, you know, listen to this and go, ah, there's just no way. But you can imagine how her doctors had felt as she slowly, I think she's around 21 now, and she is a full-grown man. I mean, she has all the male parts and everything like that. Disfigured, definitely, but, you know, and she is, to this day, an active man, and she's not, you know, there's no female in her whatsoever. She just, you know, slowly over time made that change. So if I didn't meet these people, you know, face to face and see the documents the doctor sent home, there were doctors just, you know, I'll work with this kid for free. You know, I want to see what's going on. They want to see everything out of curiosity. So yeah, there's a lot of things that that I've heard and seen when it comes to stuff like this.
So the Greys are basically, sure. So the Greys are like doing something with genetics to where they're, you know, basically turning boys into girls or girls into boys kind of thing.
Who knows? I mean, it could be many things. I mean, I always, you know, tell people that we're children to what's happening here. We're, you know, if you meet somebody with an IQ of 500, you're not really going to guesstimate what they're up to, what they're doing, or anything like that, what it looks like to us. Just like if we caught a fish and threw it back and the fish goes and said, guys, you'll never believe what happened to me. You know, I think, you know, we barely have the capacity to understand the word God, much less, you know, the capacity to understand these people who seem to be highly intelligent and seem to be up to something. But there's a lot of speculation. You know, I just hate to speculate and say that I'm the guy that knows what's going on. I've just worked with a lot of people and I've heard a lot of crazy things, and all these people have not met. There's, you know, they're not watching the same television shows, but they're coming up with the same, this happened to me, critiques, that, you know, you can quickly pick up on if you work with enough people. And, it seems to be, you know, a very wide thing. You know, when I spoke to, Paul Hellyer, he was the Canada's Ministry of Defense at one time, and he's speaking publicly like, yes, this is happening, this is going on, but his sources dug up that there were at least four different types visiting, you know, our planet on a constant basis, and there are more that do it, you know, not so frequently. So, you know, trying to figure out what's going on is a bit of a handful.
It is. You know, I want to say something else, too. What I've seen, their technology makes our stuff look pre-Stone Age. There's no way, and I know there's no way in our lifetime we can have the technology that they have. You know, it's just it.
Now, are either of you comfortable in talking about, like, the specifics of the experiences?
I have very, very little memory. That's one thing that keeps me very, very blessed when it comes to this. You know, I'll have flashes of memory. My eyes barely cracking open, you know, and mostly waking up the next morning to see the outcome, you know, and not just myself, but my children as well, you know. So when I hear people tell me what their memories are and what the, you know, the scars and the scoot marks and what looks like laser incisions. I mean, I've got one from nipple to navel that no doctor can explain. So, you know, I'm very lucky not to have memories like David has.
Yeah, the memories, I give anything. If I had never saw the first craft, you know, I give anything. If I didn't even just go out the house that night, you know, it's ongoing. It's constantly. They're not leaving me alone. And my wife says I go out at night, you know, and I don't have no memory of this. You know, they want you to remember certain things that I found out, and certain things they don't. And why, you know, I can't tell you that. I don't know. But why I've been going out, and Bear brought a camera system here. Well, I was trying to catch these guys. That's another story. But anyway, my wife said I'm going out, and there's a place in my driveway. I walked into it the other day, and it's, oh, man, it just made me so sick. My nose bled. My hand hurt. I've got a bad headache out of it. And every time I get around it, it does me that way. So when he came up, he got out there, and he checked it, and sure enough, there's something there. And who knows, that, you know, that may be where I'm going overnight. I don't know. And, you know, the camera system he's got, somebody hacked into the thing. You know, he couldn't even get them to play back to see what was going on. You know,
is
and
the magnetic field has changed in that area, David?
I have no idea, but the place that he checked in my driveway is magnetic.
That's weird.
You know, it's, I don't know. It's, he noticed stuff here that I didn't, you know, time before he was here, but I don't know. The place I live in is just weird.
Yeah, Bear knows exactly what he's doing. I mean, he's been doing this, I'm probably wrong, but I'll throw it out there, around 47 years. So he's seen it all. But, you know, David, I can correlate with you a lot. You know, I've woken up several times, you know, standing outside, not knowing how I got there. There was one night in particular that it broke my heart. It scared the living hell out of me. I woke up to check on the kids like I did 4 or 5 times a night back then to make sure they're okay and my daughter's gone, you know, and I'm running around the house. I'm looking for her, and, you know, I open the door, and there she is maybe 60 feet away from the front door, standing there in her nightgown with her back toward me, and her eyes are wide open, her mouth is wide open. I'm running over something, you know, with my bare feet. I don't know what it is yet, you know, at the time, but I shook her, I yelled, I tried to wake her up. She seemed to be in some kind of trance. It scared me badly, you know, and I rushed her inside, and she kind of slowly came out of it, cried, and she didn't know why she was crying. And then I went back outside to see what it was that I was tripping over trying to get to my daughter, and it's these huge chunks of honeycomb that looked like it came off of, you know, a bee's nest, just scattered in a straight line straight towards where she's at. Now, I have no idea how that stuff got there or why it was there, but, you know, it's a scary feeling, you know, to see your child in that type of state, and, you know, it's also scary to wake up outside and have no idea how you got there. And, of course, I always wanted to say sleepwalking, but it's more and more seems like not the case at all. Now, when these things come around, I have a strong feeling, and, you know, looking at the free reports, with Rick Hernandez, he does a study on experiencers, and we all collate and you know, have things to fill out, and he goes through and says, okay, this percentage this, this percentage that, and he says that it's over 86% of people literally feel these things outside, and they get up and walk out, and there it is. And there's even celebrities that report that as well. And, you know, it's a wonder either, A, we're getting up in our sleep and we're following that feeling, or B, we're just being taken.
Hmm. Now, we do have another caller. I don't know if it's a caller with questions. I don't know who it is. Are you open to questions?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead. You know, I'm open.
Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons. Who's this?
Hi, Jason. It's Bear Goff. How you doing?
Welcome, Bear.
Hey.
Hello there, everybody. How's everything going?
Good.
Hey, Bear. It's the man himself. Were your ears ringing or what?
Yeah.
I believe they were.
I was trying to get in, and I couldn't listen to the show, so I had to Skype it to y'all. And I was getting some of the stuff, and I apologize. I was late and didn't get all of it. But, you know, these and hello, David. How you doing today,
hello.
My friend?
Better.
You know, the syndrome that happens, Eric knows it all too well. David knows it all too well. It's a very painful process to go through. Especially when you first go through it, you don't understand. The big question that you always are asking yourself is, why me? Why me?
Yep.
You know, and that's probably the hardest thing that you have to cope with. And then you start to realize that everything that you've ever been told in your whole life, everything that is about it is nothing but fallacy. You know, someone has taken all that and disrupted your world, and now you know that they've lied to you, and everything is totally different than what you were raised to believe in, everything else. And you know, the tough thing about abductions series and everything else, and I remember a long time ago working with a lady within MUFON, her name was can't get it out of my mouth for some reason. Elaine Douglas, she's passed now, but I remember her saying that, you know, the darn thing about an abduction is you're taking against your will, you're taking out of your house, you may have the urge to want to go outside, you may want all this stuff, but you know the biggest part about it is, it's like being raped. It is an unwilling thing of somebody coming in and bodily doing something terrible to you without your permission.
So I imagine
that's exactly what it is.
PTSD is probably pretty common among abductees, and I imagine other problems. I'm curious to know exactly what sort of, is there like a typical set of problems that an abductee has navigating through life once they've had these experiences, like PTSD or depression, that sort of thing?
You can go through all of it. Yes, definitely. You know, Eric can talk to you some more about that. I've dealt with several abductees through my career. I don't know why, from the situations that I've had to deal with in my life from this at a very early age. And continuing today, it's like the I always tell Eric, and I think Eric can attest to this too, they seek you out. Now, that's one of the things that is really unusual. You can be standing somewhere and somebody will come up to you and just say, hey, I need to talk to you. Will you help me? Same thing with David. David, tell them a story about Walmart.
Oh, yeah. I was in Walmart, Mount Sterling. I was getting onion rings. I love onion rings. But anyway, I was getting them, and, hell, they only had like a couple bags, and I was trying to reach them, and this woman came up behind me, and she said, you do know you're attracting them, don't you? And I turned around and went, huh? And she said, and she was walking. She said, yeah, you attract them. And she was making motions with her hand, you know, and her finger pointing up. And I, you know, I looked up, and when I looked back down, she was gone. And I went looking for her. I figured she went down the back aisle, you know, went there. She wasn't there. So I went down to the next one. She wasn't there. So I gave my stuff to my mom, and I said, you know, I'll be back in a few minutes. And I went looking. I never did see her again. But she was a pretty woman. She was close to about, I don't know, 5'10", 6 feet, blonde-headed, blue eyes. And where she went and who she was, I'll never know.
You know, that's another story. And that's the way this operates. It's so, it's almost fantasy land, you know, but it is actually an experience that's happening to everybody because they all talk about it. Everyone has it. I've had it. David's had it. Eric's had it. Any other abductee will talk about it. There's a true base of abductees out there that all suffer the same thing, you know, and it's traumatic and everything else. He's also been, I don't know if you want to tell a story or not. Tell the story about the lady at dinner one night. You were eating, and you had a contact with somebody that you weren't expecting, David.
Yeah, I was told Eric that a little while ago. I'd seen her twice. I'd seen her once in Paintsville, and she, I don't know, our eyes just hit, and I don't know, my heart come in my mouth when I seen her. Well, anyway, it went month two. We was at Taco Bell in Moorhead, and I was sitting down, and I looked up, and oh my God, there she was again. But she was with her husband. I was with my wife. She's another story, by the way. But yeah. Anyways, my wife got up to go out, and her husband went back to the counter, and she had pointed to her wrist and to her around her knees, and. And I said, you know, I know. And we shook her heads. And we didn't get a talk like I wanted to, but we had the same marks. I turned my wrist over, and she turned hers, and there they were. And she said, thanks for holding my hand the other night. You know, I don't know what they done to us, but, you know, that stuck with me.
Very emotional thing.
I mean,
David, by the way, thank you for sharing that. We appreciate it. No, it's hard.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I mean, it all sounds very traumatizing, and I wish, you know, the government's got to know what's going on, and it would be great if, I know the truth hurts and the truth is scary and ignorance is bliss sometimes, but personally for me, I would want to know what's going on. I don't want to live in ignorance. If they have information, just let it out. Let people know what's going on.
Well, it's a conversation that nobody wants to have in the big house.
And, you know, if I heard, what is it? Luis Alejandro, he was talking about, you know, if they had a Korean right. flag on these things or something like that, then we'd all be talking about it in the White House, the Pentagon, everybody would be talking about it. But since these things are unidentified, it's taboo. They don't even talk to, you know, about it amongst themselves very much. It's an embarrassment in national security. It's something they want to sweep under the rug. But I can tell you this, you know, their Pentagon operations can send up, a flight over your home at any time, anywhere you live, to check these things out and see who they are. And the old saying goes, when you're a detective, you know, if you want to catch the rat, you got to follow the big cheese. Or if you want to get the big cheese, you got to follow the rat, excuse me. And, you know, we're the rats. We're, you know, we're where it's at. And I think it's going to come out in the future that these F-15s, these F-22s, these people that are getting deployed, they're getting deployed to our houses. And I think a lot of people can vouch for that.
And for the
I know
benefit,
one, but I'm not going to mention names, but I know one.
Mm-hmm.
And for the benefit of the listeners out there who might be having experiences or may feel that they've possibly had experiences, and I guess anybody could answer this, is what are some of the things like that are standard, that are typical for somebody that's being abducted, some of the symptoms? Is there kind of a standard template of what usually happens? Obviously, there will be some variability, but what can people look for that might indicate that they've had experiences?
Oh, well, you know what I really, you know what I'd say about that? And there's a reason why I don't like to do that, because there is, and you're looking at three abductees that will sit here right now and tell you that I hear a lot of people talk about being abducted. There are certain things that you shouldn't even talk about or say, but I'll tell you one thing, when you are sitting somewhere and you are with an abductee, and they're an abductee, you will know right away, and you will talk, and you will understand everything that goes on about it. And, you know, that's one of the kind of the unique things. These people, you know, it's like Eric's gone to and has been in conferences. I've been to conferences and everything else, and you will see a high-rated speaker talk down and everything else to some of these people, not really care. They're more considerate about, give me my book and give me your information so I can continue to speak about it. But if you really want to have a good time, go out where the smokers are all at. Outside, smoking a cigarette, sit outside and look at the people that are talking to each other. And then look at the one that will be sitting there, and they will be eye to eye in contact with you and be listening, and you will have a conversation, and there will be 15 people around there all listening, because they're all abductees and they all want to tell you something. Abductee, and that's one of the things that I think is the most important thing, that there's a oneness between abductees, you know, and when you are around them, you just know there's something that we're supposed to all do together. Correct, guys?
I couldn't
yep.
say it better. I mean, I can go into a tangent on how to find them, what to look for, but that would just be giving out valuable information. I can say that, you know, there are things like you'll get a phone call and say, well, I think maybe something happened, but I'm not sure, because they're having a cognitive dissonance in their mind, a Mexican standoff between one part of the brain and next, going, this can't be real, but I need to talk to somebody about it, you know, and once they vocally push those words outward, they start to realize how much they're hiding from themselves. But this is so taboo, you know, nobody wants to be the UFO person or the abductee guy. This is a club nobody wants to be in. You know, if they contact you on Facebook, it's a little song and dance on Messenger back and forth. They don't want to mention anything UFO. They just want to say hi and feel the waters and feel comfortable. And it's a little bit back and forth until they feel comfortable with you. And then that's that inevitable phone call that comes up where it's 3 hours, it's 4 hours, it's 5 hours, you know. And, of course, they feel better, and they hang up the phone, and they don't want to talk to you for another 2 weeks, because immediately what they do is they get very, very paranoid. I didn't know that person very well. I gave them so much information about myself.
It could have been, you know, someone, you know, with not the best intentions, and all these things go through your mind. But every night before you lay, when you lay down at night, you feel like you didn't get anything accomplished. You have so many questions in your brain. So that kind of overrides your protective thinking. And they end up calling again and having another 3, 4, 5 hour conversation just to get more and more comfortable. So it's a highly knit process with every single person that is very, very much the same pattern, because they're going through the same emotions, the same fears, the same worries, everything. You know, if a psychologist would look at this each time, they would go, my God, you know, this is 100% real, because these people that have never, ever met each other share all the same attributes at the same time.
And I imagine a lot of psychologists out there are not very keen to the idea. I mean, the brain is a really complex thing. You know, you have sleep paralysis and stuff like that, legit things that actually happen. Like, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's like, how does one discern between something like sleep paralysis and being abducted, or something that's, you know, that's generated in the brain that's not real? Like, I mean, if you just have a dream about aliens, maybe that means that you've been abducted, or maybe it doesn't. I'm just trying to get a grasp on, you know, what could indicate that you're actually might have actually been abducted.
Oh, for me, it was never, you know, a thought that ever crossed my mind. I thought people that talked about that kind of stuff were crazy, just like a lot of people do. And mm-hmm. I was seeing objects not in the sky, but in my yard. You know, these things were right in front of 19 to 25 people at any given time. You know, it was right there in front of everybody's face. And I started to tell myself that I'm delusional, I need medication, and I need, you know, therapy for this, because I think I'm seeing these things that are not real. And I was also telling myself that everyone out here thinks I'm going crazy, so they're going to pretend to see them too, when it was really happening. It was a real event. So, you know, none of this is happening during dream time or anything like that. It's like, you know, you go out in your driveway, and all of a sudden, boom, it's right there. So mm-hmm. even though I had pictures and videos on my phone, my neighbors had pictures and videos of this thing on my phone, I wanted to believe that I was going delusional, because there's no way I was going to believe that there are people from another planet or another dimension that was literally coming to our planet. It's just too much sci-fi for me. So it took a very long time for me to just accept the fact, you know, that this is real, and use extreme discernment when it comes to everything, because you don't want to get anything wrong, you know. You know, there's sleep paralysis. There's a lot of things that can lead a person's mind down a false rabbit hole. But discernment's very, very important. And there's a lot of people saying things that they shouldn't be saying, because, you know, there's not enough, you know, evidentiary support. There's not enough solid evidence. There's not, you know, enough of anything but their own mind going, what if this is real? You know, if you buy a car at a car lot and you rarely see them on the road, you buy this car, it's cheap, you got a great deal, and you're happy, and you're driving home and you see 7 of the damn things. It's all about gauging your mindset to a certain subject. So we're wired that way. So if we start seeing things in the sky, you know, we start experiencing things, our brains are going to focus directly in on just that. Just like when you bought that new car and all of a sudden everybody got one just like you. They were around before, but you weren't honing in on it, you know.
Right.
So that's kind of how we're wired. So some people are very, very imaginatory, and they, you know, add things on and take things off, and it makes a lot of confusion throughout the UFO field. So discernment's extremely important, and there's just too many people out there that are, you know, saying things they shouldn't say.
Can I ask you, I think David was saying that somebody had approached him and asked him questions, and then they were gone, and they saw that person again. What do you think they are? Are these people, are they set up? I, you know, this is quite interesting to find out, but I imagine these people are come to you or anybody that they're picking out. Who are these people that do that?
I don't know. You know, it's got me. It's like these men in black. Are they aliens or not? There's something just not right about them. I've been paid a visit with them, got threatened by them, but, and I believe, I'm not going to sit here and say 100%, yeah, these are those tall aliens that I saw. These, I'm 99.99999% sure they are, but still, you know, it don't make 100%. And the lady that done me, you know, I don't know who she was, but, you know, I'd say she was a good-looking woman, you know. She looked as normal as any other, you know, woman, you know, that I've seen. But who she was, I don't know. Couldn't tell you.
Are the people that have experiences, how common is it to have interactions with men in black? Is that like a pretty common thing, or is that uncommon?
I think it's pretty common. Answer that one better.
I think it's pretty common. One of the things that you find out is that you start seeing, and it's not paranoia, I hate to say that, but you start seeing certain vehicles that will follow you around. Even investigators have to do this. You know, the whole thing about it is that there's so much high strangeness behind everything when it comes to this. I mean, abductees start seeing odd things in their home, shadow figures, orbs. Everything changes. The veil's been lifted, and it goes deeper and deeper. And what you get is then you start, and Eric can attest to this, David can attest to this, I can personally attest to this, is that all of a sudden there's somebody that wants to come and monitor you, or they'll follow you, or they'll do things over and over again with you, where they'll be in front of your face. They let you know that you're there. They love to be emotional. It normally happens after a sighting, after you have a sighting, or if you have someone like myself come to your house, then they are like going, okay, you need to stop talking about that. And David has had that experience. Eric has had people that, it's like harassment. It's total harassment. Just like Eric mentioned, you know, here's the piece of candy. People are doing a program. And we just found out, hey, 10 years from 2007 to 2017, the government is interested in this. Well, they don't talk about the people who are actually, you know, okay, so if you see a UFO, and you report one, and you've got Bigelow, who had BASS investigating cases. You have people out doing talking to UFO people. What do you think that? Don't you think that they're going to monitor those people? If there is contact, if you are reporting UFOs, so automatically there's complete interest about these individuals, because just like Eric said, if you're going to go catch a mouse, you better put some cheese in a trap somewhere, and we are the cheese.
I bet they're listening right now, or we're listening to the archived. I'm being serious.
Well, does anybody else know that that you're not on the internet right now?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure they're listening. Like, I've always wondered
that. I'm sure
that,
they're
listening,
but I don't know how many other people are listening, because
other people.
Well, I'm glad that there are, unless they're calling in and doing it on a telephone. Because every time I was hitting it tonight, and, you know, we have a Blog Talk is a pretty open, and we have another show on Blog Talk, and you get to see it, and all of a sudden I'm like going, hey, there's nothing happening here, and it says waiting for the host to call in. I'm like going, uh-oh. Something's going on.
Well, there's definitely listeners on this end.
Excellent.
And
oh yeah,
but
you also brought us over that.
I've always wondered, you know, when we talk about these subjects, if somebody's listening, and I totally am all about the government conspiracy, and them keeping tabs on especially abductees, and it wouldn't surprise me. And it worries me a little bit, just because, you know, nobody wants to be on the radar, especially that kind of radar, you know. And when you're broadcasting about it, or if you're an abductee, if you're broadcasting about it, it just puts a big target on your back.
Right, exactly, Jason. And I agree with you 100%. And unfortunately, I have that. You have a target on you. I have a target on you, because those are the type of things that we want to bring out. Where those are the things that we actually deal with. Eric has dealt with it. David has dealt with it. You know, funny thing about it is, I go put up cameras down there, and what's the first thing that David says? Well, the black vehicles and these other government vehicles that are parked out in the driveway and sit and watch me and take pictures of me and are looking through binoculars at me. I haven't seen them in 2 weeks.
Mm-mm, no, they haven't been back. And well, they watched us there that day. But, you know.
Yeah. That was very unusual.
We got even my wife talked about that. You know, nobody pulls in their driveway now. Go figure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Yeah. But it was funny when I was there the other day, I get there and there is a SUV parked in a park that's close to David's house, sitting there just staring at across the street at us for about 20 minutes until I finally decided, well, I think I'll get my camera out and start taking a few shots of this thing. And as soon as you do that, they decided that they'd like to drive away for some reason.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
I don't know. You know, but it's just that kind of thing. And unfortunately, being an investigator, investigating so many cases I have, I can guarantee that there are other investigators out there that will tell you the same thing, that will tell you that they've had encounters with these things. Even abductees have encounters with that. We could go into the devices that they use. You know, there's a lot of monitoring programs out there, and I don't think we all know the top end of it. And I don't want to be the one that spreads paranoia or anything else. But if you want to talk to Eric and David and myself, I guarantee you that we can put some pretty good facts on to, yes, that happens, and yes, it's out there, and it's scary to you because you do feel threatened, and it is an emotional problem with you because no matter how much you don't want to be paranoid, you become paranoid. Helicopters over your house, 300 feet over your house, all hours of the day, circling you, going where you're at. Eric, are you still there?
Yep.
You want to talk about the helicopters?
Yeah, sure. Not, I might get one for saying it, but it doesn't matter what.
I'll probably have one to go by the house now.
Doesn't matter where you live, where you move, where you decide to hide. You know, they're going to show up. You know, whether it be a helicopter, or SUV. You know, any type of vehicle, beat up pickup truck, it doesn't matter. You know, they're going to show up and they're going to see what you're doing. I just moved here from Maine. I'm in Vegas now, and I've had good harassment. I mean, really, really terrible harassment in Maine. And so when I got here, I moved in with my girlfriend. She insisted, and you know, we'd just be out having a 5-minute cigarette. You know, I don't skywatch. I don't lay out in the grass and you know, wait for something to happen. If something's going to happen, it's going to. And, you know, these helicopters are coming up, and they'll shine right there on the balcony in front of everybody. Just shine a flashlight, you know, or the spotlight and keep it on you. I mean, you literally feel like a wanted criminal for doing that. You know, not too long ago, me and little man, he's 10 years old. And he's talking to me in the backyard. I'm having a cigarette because I don't smoke indoors. And, you know, this, I think they call them Apache helicopters. And they're scary, too, because they have guns on them, big 50-millimeter guns. You know, these are assault helicopters.
You know, this thing's maybe 60 feet off the ground, maybe 70. Mind you, a telephone pole is 75. That'll tell you how low these things come. And just spot light me in the kid, you know, right there. And it's scaring a child, for God's sakes, you know. And this is just a message, you know, saying, you know, we know where you're at. We know who you are. And to intimidate you not to speak. And I'm dumb enough to keep talking, so I'm just going to. And, you know, there's no telling. I mean, what do your neighbors think when, you know, you have military helicopters spotlighting you in your yard on a regular basis? You know, they don't want to talk to you. They don't want to make friends with you. They want to stay the hell away from you. So it kind of alienates you, too. And it's just incredibly ridiculous that our government, you know, has programs to just follow us around and try to get information. What it should be like is how it is in the movies, where they track this thing to your home, they come knock on your door, and they sit down and drink a cup of coffee and hear what you have to say. But unfortunately, you know, that's it's not how it works. I mean, television is absolutely not how it works. You know, I thought in the beginning that I'd get a knock at the door and get some answers, but that's not the case. Anytime they talk to you about it, it is going to be an admission of guilt, and so they're not going to do that.
No, right. And you know what's really
odd? No, they're going to tell you to shut your mouth, you know, like they did me out here. You know, they told me quit reporting things. It wasn't anybody else's concern, and you know, if I didn't, it's well, they was going to do stuff to me, and they actually did, you know, but. Yeah, they make you feel like a criminal. They do. You know, I had experience with the helicopter, and Bear there's had the same thing, and
mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know. They just, you know, they admitted them. Then why do they don't want us to say anything? Don't make sense.
Well, you know, the unusual thing about it when you talk about helicopters, you talk about all this other stuff. It's just like going, you know. There are people out there that believe everything the government has. They're chewed up. You can go to your neighbor, and my neighbor may go, hey, I've got to watch. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I've got to watch that bear guy because of the fact that there was a government man that came by and said, you know, we've got him under surveillance, and we'd like you to watch him and fill out these forms for us and tell us what's going on. And then you can look over the internet. You can look over all that stuff. And I've actually done a few cases on that where I've gone out to people's houses that are saying they're being harassed by the government. Not abductees, not something else, but they've done something terrible or they believe in something different than the government wants them to believe. And they'll start talking about it or they've been somewhere or whistleblower. And same thing happens. Really unusual.
Well, we're just about out of time, but we do have a caller, and I was thinking maybe they have a quick question, so I'll bring them on real quick, and then we'll wrap it up. Caller, you're live on Paranormal Horizons.
Hi.
Is this? Hey.
Hi. Thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to make it quick. I'm very familiar with the, you know, the surveillance and the harassment, because I've been going through it about 5 years now, four that I was really aware of it. But I have a quick question. They're trying to gaslight me, and they actually did exactly what you just said. You know, went to neighbors, and, you know, they're investigating me for this, and they're getting all kinds of things.
Exactly.
All kinds of things. Yeah, I'm there. Okay, I'm still there. And, I wonder, I think what they were trying to do, my mother used to live with me, and this harassment ended up making her sick and hospitalized and died. But before she did, she said she was sitting up and, you know, she opened her eyes and saw two aliens in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
But now we never talked about aliens. Okay. I mean, we're big sci-fi buffs, but we never talk about that. You know, it was not on our radar. And, she never had anything. You know, I can't say that's exactly true, but I think years ago she might have, you know, seen the bright light came down on her. But this was weird because she described it as this tall, green, skinny bug. okay? That's how my mother, you know, she was real skinny and it was green. And it looked like a bug, okay? And the other one was a gray. But I'm telling you, because I knew about the harassment and the constant surveillance, I mean, following and, you know, a long time, I thought, these guys want me to know they're there or they're really bad at their job, okay? I mean, they suck, okay, because I can see them. And
right, it's
them.
Intimidation.
Now,
it's an intimidation.
Yeah, exactly. But now it's, they don't want me to see them. But, you know, I'm way past that. I caught them. I figured out they were videotaping my mom and I in the house. I saw Windows XP download on my TV. And, I mean, that's when I really went, oh, my God, and started seeing everything that was going on. But my question is, I almost wondered if that wasn't a holograph that they – because they were trying to make me look nuts. And this retired officer and PI said, you know, told me about gaslighting. I said, that's what they're doing to me. They're trying to make me go crazy or have everybody think I'm crazy by trying to, you know, report it or whatever. Have you ever heard of them using holograms?
I have. If you want to check something out, go to look for a project called Project Bluebeam. It's an older project, but look for Project Bluebeam, and you may find some interesting stuff on it. It's a holographic program that they're doing, and with their false flags and ability to be able to do that kind of thing. And that may help you out. And if you have any other questions or you have concerns about it, please get a hold of one of us because we do it all the time. I've got a monitoring. You know, people can come over to my house and see it. I've lived in another area. I had one out in front of my home there. I moved 2 weeks later. It shows up here. I go down to see my old place, and it's not there anymore. It just came to me.
I know.
You know, and no one else has them. You don't see them. So it's very unusual. And do you ever get any have you ever been feeling like you actually are having an electronic beam or anything like that affect you in any way? Yep. I know exactly what you're going through.
I don't usually talk about, I mean, because they monitor, they are on mic all my calls. I mean, they beep the numbers and they stop people from being able to call and, they pretend to be people when they text, and they're not. You know, they use their numbers. It's really crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
and I would, I understand 100%. I go through the same thing. You get disconnected calls. You hear your calls being monitored. I've even talked to radio stations in the past, and they'll say, this call is now being monitored. And they're going, and you actually hear across the phone, and they'll go, oh, wait a minute, I don't know if we want to talk to you anymore. You know, so it's very real.
Yeah, because you don't want your friends to be involved in it. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, they become, because even the friends that you have, and you start talking about them and going from that point to another point. What happens? They start experiencing the same things you're experiencing. It's not because they're like going, hey,
well, they don't want to. Right.
Yeah, they did.
And you
one
don't
want to.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I understand exactly what you're saying, and I understand why you're not saying it. And you don't want that's the way it is.
No, that's not it. I just, because I'm used to it by now, but I just basically, I don't want their information monitored, and I don't want them to know what's going on. So I can't really explain it on the phone, and and that's what they want. They want to isolate you, you know?
Yes, exactly.
And they want to make you look nuts. And it's because I filed some complaints on a big bank, you know, and government and things. And, you know, it's like they've got to discredit you and make you look nuts. But I think one of the ways they're doing it might be with the alien thing. I mean, I was just an idea. I don't know. You know, my mother was very gifted. Maybe she did see. Maybe they were really there. I know she saw them. But, this police officer said that he has seen companies spend over $500,000 to drive someone crazy. They hire, you know, private investigative firms to do this.
Yes.
To actually follow people and because
I've done it.
Discredit you.
That's funny you mentioned that. I was a private investigator, and I was working as workman's compensation. I was in California, and normally when we do surveillance, all I did was surveillance. Normally, you know, you try and stay hidden, you hide in the back of the car, you cover up your windows, whatever. But in this one case, they wanted the guy to know that he was being followed, and so I was concerned about the legality of it. I'm like, I don't want to get in trouble doing this, but they are like, no, we talked to our legal department, you know, and it's people and companies are ridiculous. But we're out of time, so we got to wrap it up. So I want to thank you, caller, for calling in, and
thank you.
Yes, thanks for sharing the information. And I guess now we can go one at a time. Whoever wants to share any information regarding ways to contact you, websites, that sort of thing. I guess we can start with Bear.
You can contact me from Night Stalkers Paranormal on we're redoing the website, but it will be up again shortly. We're also Night Stalkers Paranormal on Facebook. You can get me from Kentucky Truth Seeker or Barry Gaunt on Facebook. You can also grab me at MUFON. I'm the state director for Kentucky MUFON.
Awesome. How about you, Eric?
Just Facebook is fine, Eric Mitchell. We can go from there, whether it be telephone, landline, any other way.
Cool. And David, did you you kind of want to stay out of it, right?
I'll do it like this. If somebody, you know, really wants to talk to me, they can get a hold of Eric or Barry, you know, then they'll get in touch with me, and you know, I'll try to help if I can, but these two here are a wealth of knowledge. You know, I'm just getting started through this stuff. They've been doing it a pretty good while. But if anybody needs to talk to me, you know, I'll talk to them. I don't have a problem with it.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you guys so much for coming on, and it was really enlightening. I want to thank the caller for calling in, sharing her stories. It's, of course, as I've mentioned, my favorite subject, and now I'm just a little bit more paranoid. So, of the government.
Right, from
that's
this end.
I would like to say something. Bear has his own show every Tuesday night. I believe it's 6:00 Pacific time. And I think it's his time. I think it's Central Time. It's called Into the Fire, folks. So you want to hear his sidekick, Maria, Bear and Maria, 6:00, Into the Fire on Blog Talk Radio. Go ahead and join them. Very special people to me, and got a lot of information that they want to share with the public. So I do encourage our listeners to follow up with their show, too.
Thank you, Sherry, and I will go to tomorrow night is Steve Hutchinson, the DOI Deputy Director of MUFON Headquarters, and we're going to be talking to him tomorrow night. So if you like him, please tune in.
Awesome. Well, again, thanks, everyone, and we got to wrap it up. So hope everybody has a good week, and yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, everybody take care. Next week we're going to have Manny Pureheart. He's a mystic and a psychic. So we're going to have him, first-time guest. He'll be joining us next Sunday at 8:00 Pacific Standard Time. And in the meantime, everybody take care and listen to Bear's show, Into the Fire, on Tuesday at 6:00.
Yeah. So good night, everyone. We'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time. And hope everybody has a great week. Good night.
Take care.
Thank you, buddy.